Well, it looked like a promising day. It's the Business News Hour for the final Friday of 2018. Only one more trading day on the docket for Wall Street. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Wells Fargo has to cough up $575 million to settle its fraudulent sales practices. Some stunning numbers coming out today from the housing market. We're now a year into the gigantic tax cut passed and signed into law last December. So what's happened with all that anyway? We'll share. Sears announces it will close another 80 stores, and one of those is in Iowa. Usually in for the interview is Jeff Pitts from CityView and stuff to do in the metro. However, Jeff has the day off, so we're going to learn something today about setting and realizing goals. Not resolutions, but actual goals. They're different, you know. Deborah Renner from Tarot International joins us yet today. But that business news is coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tarot International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, realestateconcepts.net. The business news is next.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit AUREON to get started.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour, the final Friday Business News Hour for 2018. Reach out to us on Twitter. Yeah, you can do that. We are at IOB underscore News Hour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, it started out pretty good and looked for most of the day like the Dow was going to rally past its off day of yesterday. But then came the final hour of trading and the wheels started to come off. We've seen this several times over the past month. The Dow finished 76 points lower, the S&P 500 was off by 3 points, and the NASDAQ gained 5 points. You might say stocks wobbled today. We'll have all the numbers later in the broadcast. California-based Wells Fargo today agreed to a settlement of $575 million going to the 50 states plus the District of Columbia for its fraudulent sales practices uncovered over the course of a deep investigation. This now resolves state investigations into Wells Fargo's practices from 2002 until 2017. As you know, those practices have been previously disclosed. They included things like opening bogus accounts, charging improper mortgage rate lock extension fees, and forcing insurance policies on auto lending customers, policies they didn't want and didn't ask for. Wells Fargo's expenses surged over the past 2 years, driven by fines and legal costs as investigations into its consumer business multiplied. The scandal erupted in 2016 on the revelation that bank employees opened as many as 3.5 million accounts without customer approval in order to meet sales goals. The bank said in a statement that it had already set aside $400 million for the settlement and would take a $175 million provision in its fourth quarter results. Previously, the company reached a $1 billion settlement with federal regulators earlier in the year over some of the same issues. Well, according to a new study by real estate firm Zillow, rising interest rates are seriously reducing Americans' home buying power. Based on the principle that a household should spend no more than one-third of its income on housing-related costs, a household earning the national median income in January of 2018 could have afforded to buy a home worth $393,000. Now, that same household can only afford a $373,000 home if they wanted to keep their housing-related expenses at or below a third of their monthly income. Now, in that time, mortgage rates have risen from around 4.1% to 4.6%. You might be wondering what the national median income is, right? Well, that'd be about $61,400 a year. When we look nationwide, households earning the national median income can afford only 56.5% of the homes that are currently for sale before spending more than a third of their take-home pay on housing. With rates only expected to rise in 2019, affordability will continue to shrink. If the interest rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage were to increase to 6%, a household earning the median salary would only be able to afford a home worth $319,000. That equals more than a $74,000 drop in affordability from last year. Early this year, big American companies couldn't stop talking about the Trump tax cuts. Flush with the projected savings from a $1.5 trillion law, they promised to raise wages, hand out bonuses to workers, and invest in big projects. They scored headlines along with the applause from President Trump. But the fawning faded quickly. Analysts noted that the handouts to workers amounted to a relatively small share of the roughly $200 billion in federal income taxes that corporations avoided thanks to the cuts. Wages across the economy did tick up, but not by nearly as much as some Republicans had promised when they voted for the law. Capital investments surged at the start of the year, but the rate of growth fell sharply in the third quarter. Stock buybacks by publicly traded companies, though, continue to set records. They neared $200 billion in the third quarter for S&P 500 companies. Goldman Sachs analysts have predicted that the total amount of buybacks across the economy could top $1 trillion for the full year. Now, some workers did reap rewards from the laws many companies followed through on and even exceeded their promises to raise wages and pay bonuses. Yet other firms have announced layoffs despite reporting higher profits and billions of dollars in tax savings. While the long-term effects remain to be seen, the evidence so far does not suggest the sustained investment and productivity growth boosts that Republicans and supply-side economists had predicted. Many economists, including those at the Federal Reserve, are cutting their growth forecasts for 2019 in part because of the waning effects of the tax cuts. Well, come March, Sears says they will close 80 more stores, including Kmart locations. The department store operator told employees yesterday that it plans to shut another round of stores next year, in addition to those that are already in the process of going dark. When Sears filed for bankruptcy back on October 15th, it was still operating a little under 700 stores. At that time, the company said it would close 142 unprofitable stores. In November, it announced the closure of 40 additional stores. Sears told workers this week it expects to begin liquidation sales at 80 of the stores in 2 weeks. The accompanying Sears Auto Centers will also be shuttered. The only Iowa location on the chopping block is in Sioux City, in the mall area there, and the Auto Center there, of course, will also close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed slightly lower today, the final Friday of 2018, as Wall Street concluded a roller coaster week. The 30-stock index ended the day down 76 points at 23,062. At its high of the day, it rose by as much as 243 points and also fell as much as 155 points. Can you say the word volatility? The S&P 500 closed 0.1% lower at 2485, led by losses in the energy sector after rising as much as 1.2%. The NASDAQ eked out a gain of 0.1% to end at 6584, but closed well off of its session highs. Gains in Apple, Amazon, and Netflix lifted the tech-heavy NASDAQ today. For the week, the major averages all rose at least 2.7%, notching their first weekly gain in 4 weeks. Stocks are still, however, on track for their worst December performance since 1931. The S&P 500 was down 9.9% for the month, while the Dow has lost 9.7%. Investors have fretted over fears of a monetary policy mistake by the Federal Reserve, an ongoing government shutdown in Washington, and potential signs the global economy may be slowing down. Wall Street is also watching developments on the trade front as China and the United States try to strike a deal on trade, and that clock is now ticking down on the two nations' tariff ceasefire. The recent moves in stocks put the Dow and S&P 500 on track for their first yearly loss since 2015. The NASDAQ, meanwhile, is on pace to log its first yearly decline since 2011. Gold gained $2 today to trade at $1,283.10 an ounce. Oil picked up 50 cents to trade at $45.11 a barrel, and the 10-year T-note paying 2.71%. Usually, at this point on a Friday afternoon, we are bringing you stuff to do in the Metro with our friend Jeff Pitts, the managing editor of City View Magazine. However, Jeff has the week off, so we're going to learn something. When we come back, we're going to be talking about year-end and year-beginning goals for business and your personal life. We'll spend some time with Deborah Renner from Tarot International and talk about what really works when you set goals and why so many people fail to reach their goals, and most of it doesn't have to do with anything other than psychology. We're going to talk about that in depth when we come back. Deborah Renner and Tarot International next here on the Business News Hour.